Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 28th of July, last show of the month.
That's it, folks. It's all over. How are things over in San Fran?
Well, I haven't been to the city for a while, so I have really no idea.
Are you getting out of the house at all?
In East Bay. I get out of the house all the time. I went out today.
You did?
I don't stay holed up.
I mean, I go from, honestly, from work. You know, I bought that car in, that new car I got in.
Yeah, your new fancy new car. Yeah,
the fancy schmancy new car. I think, did I tell you how many miles I have on it?
10.
I got it January 29th. I have 1,900 miles on it.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
So you're going to put on approximately 4,000 miles at the most in 1 year.
Seems that way.
Huh.
Seems that way.
You should be getting a big discount on your insurance.
I got a 15% discount because of the retroactive discount that they were giving out, but somehow they already raised my rate by about 18%.
15%.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's the scambola. That's what we like to see.
So I'm like, I was all excited too, and I'm getting my bill. I'm like, I think there's something wrong with my bill. They're like, no, that will be applied when you finish up the payment for the 6 months. I'm like, okay. I go, I'm like, it's the same thing. What are you talking about? Well, that's right. Oh, it wasn't you. It was the entire area, your region, that we increased rates on.
Oh, crime?
That makes me feel better. You know, I don't know, Florida, who knows? All right, we have a lot to talk about here, as well as some Kodak. We have earnings, Fed, and big stimulus week this week, just deciding, you know, another $1 trillion or so is going to be coming out. We have lots on the calendar. We have second quarter GDP coming out on Thursday, and that number will be historic unless something really weird happens. But looking at about a negative 35% year-over-year print on that number.
Yet we're throwing money at everything.
Throwing money at everything. Well, it was that one quarter that we shut everything down and paid everybody, but yet it didn't go back into the economy. So we should see the third quarter being a significant upturn, probably historically high GDP on the other side of it, just like we saw with housing. Same thing that we saw with inflation, drop and then pick back up. And with that, there is some discussion about either inflation coming to the market, or maybe it's the end of, or the final part of the leakage of all the stimulus that's gone into the markets from central banks around the world and stimulus. Gold and silver and Bitcoin are ramping. I got some charts to show you on that. We're going to see CPE at the end of the week. That's the price expenditures. Now, what's my problem with this one? Anyway, it's the preferred inflation rate for the Fed. And we have another mixed market, Texarkana week. We have a lot of tech earnings coming out this week. And about 2 hours ago, I got a haircut on my dock.
You got a haircut?
On my dock.
On your what?
On my dock.
On your dock?
On my dock.
Were a shark there cutting hair? What's going on?
No, I called up a guy who no longer is working inside of a haircut joint because he decided that, you know, that nobody was coming in, so he decided to start making house calls. So I texted him. I'm like, hey, you available at 6 p.m. tonight? He goes, yeah, I'll be right over.
That's the way it should be. You know, I remember one time I was visiting up in Bill Ziff's offices. And what was his house? I'm not remember. I think it was one of his apartments. And I'm in there, and a barber comes in and starts trimming his hair as he's yakking to me.
Perfect.
I'm thinking, well, that's the way to go. If you got a lot of money, you have the hair. You don't have to go to the barber. They come and tell you, this is coming back.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Not cheap. I mean, usually I pay, what, $25 for a cut, and you get a free beer. This guy, but and then you give like a tip for maybe $10, something like that, whatever it is, so $25, $35, $34, $35. This was $50.
That's but actually not bad, it's considering.
Not bad. It's not bad. He did a really nice job. He was on my dock. It was, I know everything about his relationship with his girlfriend, now ex-girlfriend, and the girl he's going, everything. I didn't have to talk at all. It was great. So that was a lot of fun. I feel a lot better. Market update. We have the FOMC and fiscal stimulus. So the Fed's going to be coming out with a rate decision on Wednesday, which I'm assuming is not going to be a change.
You know, I think that's what everyone's assuming.
Yeah, not going to be a change there. And they're going to probably come out at the 2:30 meeting. And we're going to see that Powell is going to once again talk about how we're going to have a low interest rate environment for an extended period of time. And we're going to do everything that it takes and utilize all the tools that we have at our disposal. And there's plenty of room and plenty of other tools. Blah, 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 blah. So that's pretty much in a nutshell what Powell's going to talk about. We have earnings. About 125 companies reported so far from the S&P 500 over the last couple of weeks. 80% beat bottom line estimates.
And that's pretty interesting considering the economy is shut down.
Well, it all depends on what you do. So what was that Jerry Lewis movie? Don't raise the bridge, lower the water.
Yeah.
They lowered the water. So what they have is a situation where the earnings estimates came down, I mean, dramatically. And what's interesting is some of the beats were outstanding. Like you'd have a number like Tesla was supposed to like lose 38 cents. They came in with a gain of $2.50 per share or something like that. And you saw banks just blowing past numbers like crazy. And I think that was built in already. I do think that these major beats were built in because stocks reacted pretty well generally. But, you know, if you got anywhere near just if you had a loss compared to, you know, you missed, or if you came on or just a little bit of above, they really destroyed the stocks. So very low bar for the quarter. China and U.S. banter is heating up again, and we're getting closer to Biden picking his running mate.
We should get that over with. He's going to be picking the next president.
Yeah. How old is he? 77?
I think he's 78.
78. And do you have any thoughts on who the potential?
Well, until the riots broke out in Minnesota, I think Amy Klobuchar was a shoo-in.
Yep.
Because she'd be actually a good, you know, she'd be okay. She's got the right, she's actually a go-getter and she. And then there's always that woman Grisham down in New Mexico. I always liked her, but it's going to have to be a woman. I just don't think he's going to pick a black woman like a lot of black commentators want him to.
So Condoleezza Rice is off the table.
Well, she'd be off the table anyway. It'd be Kamala Harris, but I think Kamala Harris is kind of, since she got her Botox or face surgery or something, she looks like such a freak that I don't think they would pick her.
Who's this? And who?
Kamala Harris.
The chat room is saying somebody broke a press release embargo and they announced it in the press release. It's Harris.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm hearing. Progo, can you do the research and make sure before we, put out
that's
a fake.
Okay. We're not breaking the somebody. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody broke an embargo and did that. But Harris would be a choice that would be up there, except for the fact that she looks like a freak now that she's got this new face.
I haven't seen
it.
I don't
know how that's going to work.
I'm going to look that up. Kamala Harris.
Look up facelift Kamala Harris and you'll see some pictures. I mean, she's dreadful looking. Yeah. It could be something that wears off. I don't know.
That's not right.
Yeah. She looks like the Joker.
What happened? Her cheeks are up by her eyeballs and her face looks longer and it's not right.
That's just not tell right. me about it.
That's just not right.
And so this is what Biden picks? Did he ever see her?
She was actually, I don't want to say she was there's some pictures on here that are kind of funny. But I wouldn't say she was a bad looking woman. I mean, you know, she looked like, but now that doesn't seem right.
No, she should have stayed with her old look. She had a thoughtful look.
Very thoughtful look. This is not right. I got to see this. It looks like somebody did a lot of, it's like a permanent smile or something now.
And not only that, but the shape of her mouth has changed, and so it's kind of horrible looking.
Oh, that was bad.
I just don't know why they would, I thought that she took herself out of the race by having that done, but I could be wrong.
Political accidentally reports Biden picked Kamala Harris as his running mate. This is the most important.
We'll see when it's official. I mean, the problem is that now it also gives the Republicans the opportunity to just use Kamala's words against Biden. when she accused him of being a racist in the first debate.
I mean, but that always happens in the debates, and then they get to be chummy if they pick one.
Yeah, they do that, but it doesn't mean the other side's not going to use these clips.
Oh, of course. And now they use it with that new face.
And she's also not well liked. I mean, she's not. She's kind of a cop, a DA, and a lot of if there is a black community, a lot of them don't like her.
That's an interesting pick. I mean, I thought
if anybody thinks she wants her to be president of the United States, it's just got to be nightmarish to even consider it.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Let's talk about gold a little bit. Total rally mode here. I mean, the question is whether or not this is inflationary or this is just more leakage of excess liquidity in the markets, which could be the same thing. But somehow gold, which has been on the rise for a couple of months, several months now. Look at this chart.
Yeah. I know, it's 1952 today.
This chart is the return comparison, and these are on the show notes for episode number 516 of the discipline of DH Unplugged. I got that kind of wrote automatic, I guess. DHUnplugged.com on the show notes, 516.
Yeah, the silver action is really nice.
Yeah, silver's unbelievable. Parabolic move in July. I mean, we're talking about for the year of 2020, right? The red line here. It was, you know, down. It got hit really hard, thinking it's partially an industrial metal or at least a metal that's used in a lot of different non-precious type of
processes.
Yep. And then it picks up, kind of lays sideways for what? Most of the end of May through July. And then July, it decides, you know, I'm going up.
Yeah.
It's up 34% for the year.
Interesting.
Yep. And gold is up 26% for the year, which has been a very slow. Actually, if you look at gold
makes more sense. Gold is a better. I don't like the silver move. It's a little too rad. It's too much like a speculation out of control or something like that. It just doesn't look good.
Which is our next chart. The silver chart looks pretty much like Bitcoin, although Bitcoin had a much higher move in the beginning of the year, went up 40 or 50% from the beginning of the year through mid-February, kind of tracked the stock market. What's really interesting, if I was to actually put the S&P 500 here or the NASDAQ on this, it would look pretty much the same as the green line, give or take. And one of the big things here is that people are like, oh, Bitcoin is a great diversifier. I mean, if I was to look at all three of these, the red, the green, the blue line right here on that second chart, wouldn't you say that you'd rather be in the blue line for a diversifier for your portfolio?
Yeah, yes, and why? Because it looks stable.
Exactly. It looks stable, and it didn't take that big dip when everything was being sold and everything was being cashed out.
The dip was next to nothing.
Yep.
And now it looks very stable. It's kind of moving a little more than I'd like, but it's good. It looks great.
Right. I still don't understand the whole Bitcoin thing. I know you can make money in it. I get it as an investment. I understand it as a tradable instrument to a degree. I just don't understand the whole concept of Bitcoin as an alternative currency. I don't see it.
I don't. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
If when it was 25 cents a coin, I would say that was the time to get in.
Well, yeah, there you go.
All you need is 10 bucks worth. You wouldn't even be doing this show.
Yeah. All right. Twitter reports some interesting numbers. They had 16 cents or 15 cents worse than their estimates. Revenues fell 18.8% year over year. I thought that was kind of interesting. And their revenues dropped from the expectation was for $708 million for the quarter. They were at $683. But this is kind of the game plan, which we're going to talk about. They said, you know what? However, this is something that Dick Costello said, don't look at, right? Remember the daily active users? And they were always going through that when Dick Costello was the CEO. And one day, out of nowhere, he says, you know what? We're not going to pay attention to that anymore. Everybody's like, what? Why not? Well, because it was bad. The number kind of started coming down, the increase in daily active users. Now they changed it to average monetizable daily active users. So I guess they're taking out the bots, I think. Maybe. They were 186 million for quarter two, which compared to 139 million in the same period in the previous year and compared to 166 million in the previous quarter. So they picked up 20 million new users.
This I find hard to believe. People are using Twitter less and less.
I mean, think during the pandemic, people who never used Twitter probably turned it on. and said, you know, where else can I get information? Who can I follow? I wouldn't necessarily think, I think these are temporary.
Well, I'm not sure if what it is. I mean, it's just, I mean, I pretty much, except for plugging this show and No Agenda, I pretty much stopped using it. I find it to be pretty useless.
You know what I'm going to do, because I'm getting pretty tired of some of the people I follow. Some of the, you know, the people that I follow are just the same thing over and over and over. It's like, okay, enough. I'm done with this. I think I'm going to try to just reach out to names that I don't even know who they are, but follow some of them. See if I get a little bit of a different mix. Because the mix I'm getting is not, I don't like it. But here's the playbook that I want to kind of share with you. And this is something that we've seen, and this is what's been working really nicely. You know, we have, and we identified in the past, some of the tricks of the trade, which is the number one is weather, right? Weather.
You mean the tricks of the BS trade.
Right. You know, it's... We were affected by one of a few things.
Weather, yeah.
Weather is high on the list. Currency headwinds is also another one.
Yes, the currency one comes and goes. It depends on how much movement there is.
Yeah. So here's the playbook for the coronavirus and the COVID pandemic time period. So in particular, certain companies like retail is a great example of this. So they come in with their earnings report and probably going to beat because there's a very low bar that's set and there's low expectations. And if I was to say to you, you know, how do you think, you know, Kohl's is going to do? And you're going to say, well, probably terrible, right?
Yep.
They have a significant decline from a year ago. So that's probably what we would expect as well from both an EPS and a revenue standpoint. However, then they come in with that's kind of like the jab, jab, jab. Then they come in with the right hook. They say something about significant gains in online revenue or traffic. So Kohl's will come out and say, you know, we really were 80% loss or 80% off of last year from at this time again. And, you know, from last quarter, we've also dropped 25% and revenue's down and all that stuff. And maybe we're operating at a loss or a slight profit for some reason. However, online spending increased 700%. That's the information they give you. You're like, I don't know about you, John, but does it matter where the spending came online or in store, but you're still down 80% compared to last year?
No.
Well,
the bottom line doesn't make any difference. You want the money to come in somehow.
Right. So even though they do, and this is the game, and what happens is, and what I've seen several times, is stock just magically goes up. It's like, wow, they now have an online strategy compared to the in-store shopper. This is going to be possibly something that they have to, you know, and this whole ridiculous discussion trying to rationalize how it's good because now people will be buying online. And when they go back to the stores, we're still going to see this incredible amount of online plus the normal foot traffic in the stores. Like, we're going to see a double up.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's the theory. So kind of a little bit, that's the market right now. Everybody, there are suckers in this market that every single day that are being helped. But one day there's going to be a trap door on some of this stuff when reality hits on some of this, but mostly
my wife and daughter went to the Macy's that's nearby.
Oh,
they said it was like a night. It was just like, it looked like a place, looked like something you'd find in Moscow in the '70s.
Oh, interesting.
It was kind of half empty. My daughter bought a $75 sweater for $5.
Wow.
I mean, it's just, I said, I got to get over there. But I don't know. These things, this is not a help. This doesn't look good for a lot of these places.
No. Upcoming this week, we have earnings from Amazon, Facebook, Google. Today we saw McDonald's earnings. Actually, I think Facebook, Amazon, and Google are all on Thursday night. So it's going to be a whopper of movement on the, think about those three companies. Those three companies are enormous.
Yeah, they carry the load.
Yeah, that's three of the big five. So that's all on Thursday. So Friday should be fun. McDonald's earnings, they missed by 10 cents. Revenues fell 29% year over year. They were a little bit better on revenue than expectation. Expectations were about $3.73 billion. They came at $3.76. U.S. global comparable sales, the comps declined 23% on the global. U.S. comps declined 8.7%. The biggest area that's been hit, I guess this makes sense now that I think about it, is breakfast. I guess people aren't going to work, so they're just.
I was just going to ask what the, like, this doesn't make sense if you just look at it as, you know, because people do have to, they can still go to McDonald's even during the coronavirus epidemic, but breakfast, yeah, they're not going to get up to go to, because that would be something they'd like, maybe when they're headed to work. I'm not sure. I personally don't know who would eat breakfast at McDonald's, but a lot of people do.
Right. It's like, okay, I'm going to have breakfast. Where am I going to? All right, let me just grab a bacon egg sandwich or something like that in the car.
Biscuit. Yeah.
But if you're at home and you have to actually go out to do something to come back home, it's not like you're going to say, oh, I need an Egg McMuffin right now.
Yeah, you can make it at home anyway. Yeah.
Shopify earnings are coming out. This stock has been an absolute incredible powerhouse this year. And this is a company that, you know what they do?
You know, this is like, no.
They create like, they do a variety of things. But one of the things they do is like payment processing let me back up before I say that. They create, like, if you wanted to make for example, let's say that you wanted to sell that vinegar cookbook or a particular dog toy or treat or something like that, right? You could actually set up on the fly a Shopify store, and you can actually link it to like Alibaba or some other suppliers, and you just put this thing up, and then you go on Twitter and say, hey, everybody, check out this dog toy that I'm selling. People go there, click. You have to put up the money to get the deal, and then you get the payment processing through another vendor that they put together for you, and it's all this, and you have like a store set up.
How is this different than all these other storefronts that have come and gone?
This one's here now, I guess.
This is not a new idea.
They've just done a really good job with it of really putting it together.
I mean, eBay, you can do this on eBay. Yeah. I think Amazon's letting you do some stuff like this.
But they,
I remember Yahoo used to have storefronts.
I think that Shopify, if I'm not mistaken, did Shopify come out as a WordPress plugin? That's how it started?
I have no idea. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know anything about Shopify.
Yeah, Shopify is the word. Yeah, it's that Shopify is the WordPress shopping cart for WordPress. They have a plugin. Sell on WordPress with Shopify. Well,
that would make a huge difference.
Yep. How to set up Shopify at WordPress. There's a whole thing on it. Yep.
So saying just drop it right in your blog.
Yep, exactly. So it's a very easy way to do it. There's a bunch of plugins for it. So, but I don't know if that's where it started. But nonetheless, the point is that it makes it very easy to set up a store. My son set up a store. He set up a store. He linked up to... They have, again, these vendors that you can put together, and it just links it up. So the orders come through. The whole process of ordering from the manufacturer, let's say, and the logistics of sending it out. You don't send it out. It just automatically gets sent out. The whole thing is done for you.
What do you mean it automatically gets sent out?
So
they do warehousing?
They get it from whatever it is. They put it to a logistics provider, and they send it out to the party. My son never touched anything. All he got was money.
What was he selling?
Some stupid dog toy. It was made in China.
In the
wrong
business.
What is that?
Dog toy.
Yeah, it's a dog toy. He goes, hey, check out this dog toy. And he put a couple of videos that were up and some other things, and he got some people to like it. He put it on Instagram. And all of a sudden, he sold, like, I don't know, 50 of these things.
Let's go in competition against him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll sell catnip.
No, sell the same dog toy.
Oh, that could be. So he set it up. He just had a credit card linked to it. Thing was up and running within 24 hours, all done. Crazy.
Well, now I'm interested.
Yep.
Another project I don't need in my life.
Stock is up 147% year to date.
Yeah, nice.
Its PE ratio, its numbers, everything about it is out of control. Now, what's interesting is they're coming out with earnings before the market tomorrow. And tonight, after the close, they announce a $7.5 billion mixed securities shelf offering. In other words, it may be stock and bond. It may be, you know, securities they had ready and able to go. And
well,
it's
these guys
offer.
Are taking advantage of their situation, that's for sure.
Yeah. So the question is, what does that tell us? Anything? I don't know. Usually when
could be two things. It could mean that they're going to be in trouble shortly, but this money will keep them going and they'll do fine. Or it means that they're just striking where the fire's hot.
I just find it very interesting, the timing of this.
I am going to put this on the game.
Ah, and I'm assuming you're going short?
Long.
Long on Shopify. Into the earnings. You're going to get whatever happens.
Whatever happens, happens. Yep. If I go, this is what the good thing about considering we know how to play the game, is that if I go long and it actually kicks up, it'll be steady and it'll go for a while. If it just takes a whipsaw because of the bad earnings, let's say, and it just dumps me right away, it won't be on there except the 1 week, and no one will notice that I made this huge blunder.
Or the other thing is that what's markets these days is that the thing will take a big dip in the morning, you get it on that price, and it rides itself up again.
That would be good.
Yep. Home builders are on fire. D.H. Horton beats on top and bottom today by an incredible margin. Guidance was upgraded. They had strong increases. This is one of the biggest home builders in the country.
Right.
Strong increase in net orders in July on a year-over-year basis. So big numbers there. But there was one little blemish in the discussion today in the conference call. And that was that they are concerned over some of the pricing of lumber.
Wonder what's going on there.
Lumber futures are up 28% year-to-date and 120% from the April low. So, one of the things that happens with builders is if I'm a builder and you come in to buy a house and we spec it out and you're like, okay, here's the house we're going to build. You have to come up with a price. You're not building it right away. You have to go through the process of clearing and cleaning and permitting and all the other stuff, right? By the time you get the actual wood for that particular house, if you're building a wood house or any part of it wood, it's going to take months. So you have to price in what's happening here. But this kind of move, 120% from April, is, that's a problem, right? Because you may not have priced that
would seem unlikely you would price that big of a margin into
So I don't know if this is, but this is, again, the same thing we're seeing with all these commodities, this big spike. Here's some of the home builders. Take a look at this chart. All of them pretty much look the same. I have a chart which has DHI, which is D.R. Horton, LEN, which is Lennar, and XHB, which is the home builders ETF, which is lagging. Kind of interesting. The home builders, all of them came down the same level. They were down from their high. They were down from the beginning of the year, down 50% in mid-March. And everything started climbing back. And pretty much Lennar and D.R. Horton are neck and neck. Lennar is up 30% for this year so far to date from coming back from that hole and reaching an all-time high. And D.R. Horton is up 26%, while the home builders ETF is up 9.5%.
Yeah, these are both of them cracking their March highs or February highs, I guess.
Yep. Pretty impressive. You wouldn't have thought that. You would think, well, all these people that can't pay them. Listen, we still haven't gotten into the part of the story yet where people are being foreclosed on.
Any minute.
Yeah, because we have the mortgage forbearance, right? We have the eviction halt. And we have $600 a week being paid to people.
Yeah. This is like a spit in a prayer here. We're running on fumes.
And then the Democrats want to keep the $600 per week, which I let everybody have $5,000 a week. I don't care, okay? But it's just not going to play. It doesn't work right. If you have 75% of the people that are currently getting benefits, getting more than they would make at working, that doesn't work. Now they're talking about $200 a week, and they're talking about this weird thing. I don't know if you saw this, but they're going to give you $200 a week, and then October, they're going to give you 70% of your previous salary. Like, I guess you look back before you stop working, up to $500 a week. So why from July to October are we only getting $200 a week? Well, Mitch McConnell, he said, well, it's because we have the extra additional stimulus of $1,200 that will make up the difference.
You got that down. You know that? I think you sped up a little too much at the end.
Maybe. I got the big neck gurgle going. But the thing is, $1,200, if you divide it out, is only 2 weeks worth of payments. So if we take out the 200, 400, say three. So it's three extra weeks. It makes for 3 weeks. We're in July or August. That only takes us through the end of August. Then you got September and then into October. There's like a piece missing of this puzzle. Something's weird.
Well, it's, you know, you bring this idea of the foreclosure moment happens. We've witnessed this before. It really puts the kibosh on these home builders because people just go and buy one of these foreclosed joints.
Yeah, who's selling right now? If you're in a situation that things are really bad, are you necessarily going out and selling? Because you may think you're going to get your job back, and you already had 4 months or so of forbearance on your mortgage. So you're thinking that, well, when things get back to normal, because we were supposed to be back to normal on Easter. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Okay. And honestly, I'm still at this point absolutely astonished that this shit is still going on. I got to tell you the truth. This is out of control. I don't think anybody has any disagreement with that. And I
agree it's out of control. I think it's almost like it's being promoted.
Any way you want to look at it, it's bad. The situation is really bad. And whether or not it's being promoted for the election, I know that's something that you talk about on No Agenda, which, by the way, No Agenda with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on Thursdays and Sundays at 12 Eastern time, live for a wonderful show that talks. I have a feeling you're going to have a discussion about the doctors with the hydrochloroquine.
Oh, you know, we probably won't.
Yeah, I think you will. I had a talk already. I spent some time with Adam on it last night.
Well, then he's going to be leading that discussion. I mean, this is the hydroxychloroquine discussion is so beat up with, you know, everybody taking sides, and it's always on a political basis. It just annoys me.
Yep.
And although it does give you a little insight. We do have this one thing. I'll bring this up. I don't like bringing the politics into this show, but Trump is at the point where whatever he says, the Democrats just do the opposite. So if he promotes hydroxychloroquine, it's no good. So do you notice that he's the one, and so if he wants to make people do certain things, he would just say the opposite.
Okay, that makes sense.
So he seems to be harping an awful lot about this mail-in voting.
Yeah.
It's possible that the Republicans have, there's been two, and I'll point it out again. There's been two elections of congressmen in the last year or two, within the last year. That were, when somebody retires, somebody dies. There's all different ways, and you have a special election. The special elections were both mail-in, and the Republicans won both of them. It's quite likely that mail-in will benefit the Republican Party.
That would be, I would say, a brilliant move if that's what was going on. And I can't deny it. If you're going to say, well, if you pick up on that everything's opposite, and you take the gamble that if I go this way, that really means that they're going to go the other way, and that other way is really going to benefit me. I mean, that's perfect. That's a great poker play.
That's exactly what's going on, it looks like.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. It does seem pretty, I just sent in a ballot for a local election and through mail-in, but anybody could have signed my name and stuffed it in an envelope and sent it off.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Anyway, we have a vaccine update. Moderna said on Sunday that it received another $472 million from the U.S. government Biometric Advanced Research and Development Authority, or BARDA, to support development of its novel coronavirus vaccine. And this is the second time they received about $400 plus million, and they're going to use it for additional funding to support its late-stage clinical development, including the expanded Phase 3. Which is kind of interesting. And they already came out tonight after all of this with pricing. I mean, these guys are out of control. Seriously. They don't have a proven product. And
this could be a bigger scandal than Solyndra.
Oh, good one. Oh, that's a good one. That's a blast from the past. It does seem like that, doesn't it?
Totally.
I mean, just keeps on getting money.
You want to go way back? I'm thinking of Sterling Holmex, but that's going too far back.
No, Solyndra. That was, I mean, that was under Obama. That was something, right?
Oh yeah, that was the big next big thing.
And just failed. Or the other one is, what's the other one? What's the augmented reality? Oh, they're down here in Florida. Big. You know, they got the some kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's not Oculus Prime.
No, it's not Oculus. What's their name? Oh, somebody will help me with this. Anyway, there's a company down here. And they took over a major campus up in, I think it's in Boca. They took over the IBM campus. They took over one of these major campuses. Rock Hill Mill Core. It was one of the Rock Hill Data Core. They took over this one of these big campuses, and it's this big secret, and millions, hundreds of, I'm talking about 5 years ago, it was a big secret that all this money's being poured in. They have unbelievable people working here, and they have this incredible.
Yeah, I remember this.
Not even a sneak peek at any of the product development.
Yeah, because there's nothing there. This is like, also reminds me of, what's her name, or Theranos.
Oh, yeah.
But that was just a scam.
That was a total
scam. I think the Moderna people at least aren't. It's not that kind of a scam. It's just getting a lot of government money and put it through the system. It doesn't work. Man, what are you going to do?
They keep on cashing out. The CEO, if you have, this is really kind of interesting. You have CEOs or people that are on the board or, you know, anybody in management on a company that doesn't make any money because they don't have any products that they output. They're getting all this government money in. The stock goes up and they cash out. Something is wrong with that, isn't there?
I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they come up with a vaccine. Then we have to, of course, that's going to bring us to the next fight of all the people not wanting to take the vaccine and all this other stuff, which, okay, fine.
Oh, you know, this comes up in a conversation a lot. And I don't, you know, yeah, there's a bunch of people that won't take the vaccine.
I talked to two people today. What? They're like, no, I'm not taking it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. But in reality, the public at large will be taking this vaccine. If you remember the swine flu vaccine, yeah, when it first came out, the H1N1, it was about 2006 or 3 or 4. I can't remember. But they came out with this thing, and it was like two shots and had all these things. Eventually, they got it down to one shot. It was a pain in the ass. There were lines around the block. I had a local place where they were giving those shots at the Albany Library. And I went and took photos of all these lines. It was like a Star Wars rollout. I mean, it was just and that's what happened again. There's going to be a bunch of people that make a lot of noise about not taking it, but it won't matter.
Yeah. Magic Leap. Magic Leap is the company.
May not do anything for all we know. I mean, it's
And then Johnson & Johnson has launched its U.S.-based COVID-19 human trial. So we have three or four companies, major players, AstraZeneca, Moderna, J&J, and there's one other that are really ramping this up. And obviously the big issue, you know, is can they get this done? Will it create the antibodies? Will the antibodies hold? Blah, 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 you know, this whole thing and thinking, okay, fine. And when is this going to happen? Now, Moderna says they're going to charge $50 to $60 per dose. No, I don't know how many doses you need.
Well, of course, that'll all be paid for by somebody else.
Right.
And they'll make a fortune.
They'll make a fortune. There's some cap on it. You would think the government's going to put a cap on it. You would think.
You'd hope.
Hope, as they funded this whole thing. I don't know. On to another topic, museums. Do you go to any museums? Do you have any decent museums by you?
Yeah, we got a couple good. I think the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art is quite good. I think the DeYoung Museum is pretty good, not bad. Mm-hmm. We have the Legion of Honor is a good museum. The Oakland Museum in downtown Oakland is quite nice. It's a local museum that is incredibly entertaining to go to.
You and I went to a museum.
Yeah, we went to the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library, which awesome. Is a museum.
That was great. I thought it was great. Museums. About 760 museums were surveyed. 33% of the museums in America are at significant risk of closing permanently by next fall due to the economic distress from this the shutdowns. Their main income comes from ticket sales and gift shop sales, from school trips and museum events that they have, you know, whether it's parties and dinners and charity fundraisers and things like that. 87% said they had 12 months or less of financial operating reserves, and 56% said they have resources to cover less than 6 months of operations.
Well, they can sell art.
Oh, that's not going to happen, is it?
There's memorabilia in art. You know, this is something that I've never fully understood. You have raiders like Carl Icahn going out and raiding some of these flaky companies and then just looking at book value, buying for under book value, and then liquidating. I don't see why people don't do that with some of these museums. This may be a good opportunity. You buy a museum.
If you have a museum of modern art by you, I am certain the museum does not own those paintings. They're on loan or permanent loan.
That's not true.
What do you mean?
I've looked into these so-called, most of the stuff, a lot of stuff's on loan, but not the majority of it. Most of the stuff is a gift. It's a tax write-off gift, and the museums gets a lot of free stuff from huge gifts. And you get some very rich family that's got a ton of collections that they've made and paid for their 10 houses. And then, the patriarch dies, and the next thing you know, these things go to museums, or they create a museum or any number of things. But if you can find a place, a museum that has some modern art, maybe if you find one museum that has one Monet, that finances the museum for the next 5 years.
Let me tell you something. If there's a natural history history museum that has a saber-toothed tiger, I'm in. Maybe even a woolly mammoth, I'd buy.
Those things are worth millions.
I'd buy. I'd be in. I'd form a group and we'd get some.
Well, let's buy a couple of museums while we're at it.
A Sasquatch?
I think we... I think we could put together a consortium of a number of people, and we can buy up some of these museums and then make them so they're profitable and rate them.
You know, it's interesting. I had a gentleman on the Discipline Investor podcast recently from a company called Masterworks, which is a way to do partial investing in artwork. I wonder if this is something that they can fund and produce and bring. In other words, they can go to the museum because they have funding and say, we want to buy that painting or that painting.
Possible.
Now, let's see the time here. All right, let me see. We got there's so many things to talk about. Let's skip down to Kodak, shall we?
Yeah, Kodak got a bunch of government money and his stock skyrocketed.
So Kodak, which is the old Eastman Kodak, they made the, what was it, the 200 ISO black and white. What was it, what was it called? Kodachrome? No, that was a color one, right?
Kodachrome is from Kodak.
Yeah. Ilford was the other one that was for black and white that was always really good, right?
Yeah, Kodak really stopped making black and white.
I used to use the Ilford for the black and white.
Yeah, I've used Ilford.
Did you have a dark room? I had a dark room.
No, but my wife and my daughter actually took darkroom photography when she was at Willamette College.
Ah, I loved it.
I think all this stuff is – personally, I scoffed at all of it, and I still do, because Photoshop is so much more powerful than darkroom ever was.
Oh, there's no question about that. You don't have to –
because you can't do a silver halide, and you need to – it's harder. The prints don't last as long as the old silver ones will always – they'll last forever.
Yeah, the stuff that you print now just gets like murky after a while.
Yeah, it's not good.
But I remember, and if you wanted to make like a halo or you want to make like a vignette, cut out a piece out of a cardboard and you'd shake it around when your enlarger was lit. Remember that? That was good stuff. Then you had to put it in the mixer, then the fixer, and then you had to put it in the water and then the hang.
Huge. Besides the chemicals, it's a huge ordeal.
Major ordeal. I always had problems getting the film in the absolute pitch black into the drum. That you had to put it around, spin it in?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, what happened was that there was a report today that about $765 million of a government loan was going to be utilized to refurbish, redo, refit one of the Eastman Kodak facilities, I think in Rochester, I believe, or somewhere in New York. And what they're going to do with this, because obviously I don't know what Kodak does otherwise at this point, but they're going to take the facility, retrofit it to create the ingredients necessary for generic drug manufacturing in the U.S. to reduce our reliance on China and India, right?
Yeah.
So there's no clarity on what is going to be the profitability of the company?
Because it could be a boondoggle.
They got a major debt aside from this, but enormous debt, right? This is a dead company besides this. So they're going to have $765 million. Not clear if anybody that's going to be used for whatever. It's not clear what is going to be the profitability of this whole generic thing that's going on. It's not clear what they're going to be doing, how long it's going to take. Stocks up 300% today.
Yeah, it was great.
And after Trump talked about it tonight, it was up another, 50%. Actually, it was up another 30% after that. So it's like 360%, something like that, for the day. Now, this is what I find interesting. Stock is like dead money forever. Just terrible.
Yeah, for years.
Yesterday, it was up 20%. Yeah. Just saying. You know?
There's interest.
How did that happen, right? How did that happen? As we're talking about some of these zombie companies, if you want to skip up a little bit to the small cap insights.
Okay.
So there's a little button there that says zombies, but let me tell you what this means. So here's something very interesting in what's going on right now in the market. So as at the end of last year, 38% of the Russell 2000, which is the 2000 of the smallest stocks out of the universe of 3,000 stocks. So we call them the small caps, right? The Russell 3000 is broken up into the, there's a couple different breakups, but the major one is the Russell 1000, which is the large cap. That's 1,000 stocks. And then the 2,000 smaller stocks on the way down is the Russell 2000. The symbol IWM is the tracker for the ETF. Okay, great. So 38% of the Russell 2000 last year was losing money. In other words, they weren't profitable, right? Since the market's trough in March, their stocks, the stocks that were losing money, are up about 79% on average. That compares with 47% for return for those small caps that are profitable.
Well, how do you explain this?
Well, it's the Fed pumping money in. So if you have a company that's not profitable and you're not doing anything, but you're getting all this excess money into the system, ultra low rates, issue new bonds, you find ways to refinance your debt and all that, and it's just major speculation out there. That's what's going on. There's a chart there. So it's a two-panel bar chart.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So this is showing that this in itself shows you just how much speculation is in the market. Then we talk about the next point here, that small cap companies are expected to post a year-over-year earnings decline of approximately 90%. 90% year-over-year decline in second quarter results. That compares to a 67% hit for mid caps and 44% for large caps. Meanwhile, no, the small caps are not up for the year. But we're talking about a 90% year-over-year decline in revenue. They're not down 90%. They're down 15% for the year. And maybe even since last year, this time, they're even. So that's what you get with that. All right, I want to skip all the way down for a moment because there's two things that I want to talk about. We can do a limerick and then we can talk about stocks. I think we have to take a moment and officially say goodbye to Regis Philbin. Passed away last Friday, 1 month shy of his 89th birthday. I didn't know this. You know this probably because you're smart. He logged more hours in front of the camera than anyone else in the history of television?
That doesn't surprise me.
What did he do? He had a couple of shows, right, in the early days?
Well, he used to have shows. He used to be like the sidekick for, I think, Joey Bishop, and he had a bunch of shows during the era of the talk show. And so he got a lot of hours in then. It was always daily. Mm. That's how you get the hours up. You do the daily – doing a show daily, you can really rack it up. And then he's always had some sort of gig, and then he had that talk show in the morning that went on for decades, Regis and Kathy Lee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was a lot of hours logged. I can see it.
And then it was Regis and that other one. And then
he did a lot of work.
And he did that game show.
Right. He had game shows.
Yeah.
Right.
What is it? Do you want to be a millionaire? Yeah. Yep. One other point here I just want to bring to you and just talk to you about something I find very sad. I got a note from my friend in South Africa. So I'm checking in on India, too, because I'm hearing some really terrible stories about India, the very harsh lockdowns and now the spread. It was kind of like contained for a while. But in South Africa, this is my friend that I visited last year who owns the vineyards. And this is what he wrote. I wrote him, I said, Neil, what's going on? He said, yes, things are very concerning in South Africa. At this stage, it seems that 40% of all South African wine has to be dumped before the end of the year. Our plan is to manage our 2021 harvest down with less water and fertilizer. It's very heartbreaking. We don't understand.
What was the reason for this?
Now, I'm thinking about this myself, and I'm saying, Neil, can't you bottle the stuff up and age it? Right? I mean, I'm thinking. Makes sense to me. I guess maybe there's no place to put it. I have no idea why they have to do this. Well, let me continue on. You'll understand something. We don't understand the decision of our government to make, like the total ban of cigarettes and alcohol sales. So then they can't sell any alcohol at all in the whole country. Or cigarettes, because the government said.
Is the government run by Muslims now? What, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the funny thing, and I was wondering about this. Is this one of those situations where the moral high are saying, you know what, we have this. It's a good enough time to get our agenda in, and we don't like cigarettes, and we don't like alcohol for whatever reason, so we're just going to ban it. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's one thing to take away somebody's alcohol in the U.S. You take away people's cigarettes and nicotine, not good. People will be Looney Tune.
Well, there'll be riots.
Yeah, well, we have those already, so what's the hell? But that's pretty bad what's going on down there. And he went on to tell us some other things about the northern part, the shanty towns. I heard from another friend of mine who's in the drug business that it's just ravaging the shanty towns in South Africa.
Yeah.
The disease, there's no way that this testing and everybody, it's really, really, really bad. And very poor hygiene and medical down there. And it seems that those particular groups are very susceptible to a higher level of problem with this. So anyway, you want to do a limerick or not? We have 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll do one limerick.
All right. You want to just pick one of them. Pick a name.
Well, let's see. We got Matthew today. We also have Charles. Let's go to the last one.
Last one. Blake.
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 Yeah, we'll do these other ones later. Blake, we got to do one show with a bunch of limericks.
All right. This one is Blake Huge. It's huge. I don't know what his name is. Huge. And it goes like this. As the chair of the Federal Reserve, the economy you have to preserve. So print, buy, and borrow, or else there'll be sorrow. And Trump's gains will be put in reverse.
That's pretty good.
Preserve.
I'm giving that an A minus.
An A minus. Oh, A minus. If you want to send us, you can send us your particular limericks at dhemail@dhunplugged.com. So.
Do we credit Blake Hugh as the guy who wrote it?
Yeah, Blake Hugh. Hugh. Very nice. A minus. And that's from a tough critic there, a very tough critic.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
I'm putting your spot on there. Take the list. I'm kind of inputting your spot.
Yeah. Also, the list is it's kind of spotty. It's okay. We got some big numbers. Train, which was yours, and I was skeptical about it. I believe that was yours.
Yep,
yeah.
That's fine. Yep.
Up 15%. 25% is still Medtronic, which I picked. 56% is our joint pick. Mm. Which is the one, and when we do a joint pick, people should pay attention. Up 56%.
Guns.
And that's one of our biggest winners for the year,
yeah,
period.
I think so. Yep.
Period.
Yeah.
IPOC Social Capital is a SPAC. It's only up 4%. Planet Fitness is up. You're short.
No, you're short. You're short.
Oh, that was my short.
We talked about it, and you said, I want to short. I'm like, okay, go. We put it on.
Oh, yeah, that's my short. Yep. Good pick, John.
Yep.
And we got a Service Master you got coming up. Or no, that you already have this up. FVC Bank Corp, which was a descending triangle. It's dead money at the moment. I have two today.
Okay.
Well, you got the one Shopify.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I'm going to put shop. I put.
Spot. And I'm looking at there's insider action, the buyback action, and the stock chart is crazy looking. And I'm thinking, okay, well, let's put this. So just put this on the game. GSK, the classic.
What happened? What did I just do here? I just, something didn't work right. Oh, because I didn't put the name in. GSK. What is that? Glaxo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, 516. So I'm going to pick Workhorse.
Yeah, I see that.
So Workhorse, there's something to do with some people in the government with this and stuff too. But this is interesting. It's an EV trucking company that's getting a bunch of orders lately. Stock kind of was nowhere to be found, nowhere. This whole EV thing started really picking up. Then it kind of popped, went berserk on the upside. It seems to be settling out. There's a really good support level here that it seems to be now consolidating on. It's a small company. It's a very speculative play. It's e-trucks. It's e-delivery. They also do other things in the e area, like electric, of course, for like a UPS truck, for example. You know, like panel trucks like that. They have these kinds of delivery trucks that are electric. So
nice.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Speculative.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Let me just put the date here. 7/29 is tomorrow. And Glaxo is what? Insiders, right?
Insiders and chart action, even though I maybe shouldn't even put that on there because I don't know anyone could look at these charts and decide anything.
What is your thesis on Shopify? Earnings or what?
Well, I'm betting on momentum.
Okay. Momo. M-O-M-O. There we go. All right. Well, I'm going to officially call it, and I'm going to see you again next week.
Okay. See you then.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.